Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
I think Jesus deserves a big shout of praise for that. Isn't God good? Wow. You can already sense the presence of God in this place, isn't it? It's amazing. You know, whenever we get around Vision Sunday, I'm often compelled to think about and ponder and wrestle theologically with foundational truths. And you know what? The Lord always leads me back to Himself. I always come back to Christ and His words and His dream for the church, His idea for us. Because how many of you know that we are His church? Amen? You know, the Lord led me to this passage in John chapter 17 in the New Testament. And the context of this passage is that Jesus was on the earth at the time. Divinity is now in flesh, and He's praying to the Father for His disciples. So you can imagine this dynamic. This is Jesus, who is God Himself, praying to the Father for His disciples. Now, Jesus is God, right? You following so far? And when God is talking to Himself, we need to pay attention. So Jesus is praying to the Father for His disciples. Now, how many of you know that Jesus and the Father are one and the same, because everything that the Father is in Christ? So clearly, if Jesus is praying to the Father, God's not up there surprised going, "Wow, Jesus, I did not know that." Jesus is praying for our benefit, so it can be recorded for our benefit. And when we hear Jesus praying to the Father, we get an insight into just what is in Christ's heart for us. So we're going to read it, John chapter 17. I'm going to read from verse 13 to 19 out of the Message Bible, because it's very easy to understand. It says, "Now I'm returning to you. I'm saying these things in the world's hearing, so my people can experience them, my joy completed in them." In other words, Jesus is saying, "I'm going to go back to you, Father, and I'm praying this so everyone can hear this. I gave them your word. The godless world hated them because of it, because they didn't join the world's ways, just as I didn't join the world's ways. I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you guard them from the evil one. They are no more defined by the world than I am defined by the world. Make them holy, consecrated, or set apart with the truth. Your word is consecrating truth." And then Jesus says this, "Father, in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them, us, a mission in this world. I'm consecrating or setting myself for their sakes, so there'll be truth consecrated or set apart by truth in their mission." I want to speak to you and declare that this year at Nations Church, we're going to be on mission. We're going to be on mission. The disciples then went on to become founders of the early church. And this prayer that Jesus has prayed, I don't believe Jesus has moved on from that moment. 2,000 years later, these words still reverberate into the corridors of time, and they still hold weight for us. You got to understand that your calling as a believer is not just to get by day to day and just survive this life. Your calling as a believer is to be on mission. Come on, are you out there? Jesus still desires that you live your faith out by being on mission. There is so much more than just serving every now and then, go home, eat food, grow old, and then die. So much more. God has called us to actually be on mission. In 2004, before the church was birthed, God gave me what our church was meant to be about. Our mission is what we're meant to be about. It's essentially this: to reach our city and beyond with the gospel, and to influence the present and future generations to be disciples of Christ. It's essentially a paraphrase of what Jesus said in Matthew 28, to go and make disciples of all nations, to reach people and to influence them, to reach them with the gospel and to influence or disciple them. And I don't reckon this has changed in 2,000 years. I don't think Jesus has changed His mind, because a lot of time has passed, and we're not about to reinvent the wheel either. We're going to get back onto Jesus' page and be on mission. Someone say amen. If you could sum up in one word what the mission of Christ is all about, what we're about, who are we about, it's essentially this. It's spelled P-E-O-P-L-E, people. Jesus has always been about people, and our church is going to get back on mission to be about people. Not that we've veered or anything like that, but we're going to re-emphasize the importance of what it is to be on mission with people. Our church has 8 cultural statements. If you don't know what they are, these cultural statements inform and form who we are. But one of our 8 statements says this, that we are about yourself. Does it say that? That we're about others. That we connect with people of every age. Come on, I need a resounding amen. With every race, with every culture, with every background, people other than ourselves. Jesus loves you, and so do we. That's our heart. We need to get back on mission, that our Christian faith is not just all about us and getting our own prayers answered. You were designed to connect with others. You were designed to accept and embrace and look out for and nurture and touch the lives of people other than yourselves. If you're a Nations Church person, get used to loving people from other nations. Because that's who Jesus died for you to be. Your life was always meant to be expended, adding value to other people's lives. Here is what it could look like practically, even from next Sunday onwards, as you're packing your screaming kids in the car and you're trying to calm your husband and your wife down because you've just had an argument. Get into the car, take a deep breath and go, Jesus, send us on mission today. As we're driving, Lord, would you connect me with someone that's new or someone that's lonely in whatever campus you just call that out as you're praying, whatever service that you're going, Myrie, 9 a.m., Belmont this morning, whatever. Lord, I pray that you will send me on mission, that I'm going to be a blessing to somebody today, that my life is going to be expended. Lord, put words in my mouth that's going to encourage someone today. Lord, as I'm serving today, help me to bring an attitude of praise. Help me to bring something that's going to add value to someone's life. Your mission looks like the very practical day-to-day. Here's a great test to see if you're actually on mission in your Christian journey. Here's something that could be really good for you to test yourself and maybe ask yourself, if all your prayers were answered, would it change the world or would it just change yours? If God were to grant all of your requests and your petitions, would it bless everyone around you or would it just bless you? If God were to pour out favor on your life and blessing, would it benefit others or would it just benefit you? You know, when we say at Nations Church that we're about others, what we're talking about is the fact that you're actually connected to a body of Christ. This is the right theology, that you're actually part of our church, a community of faith, so that who you are, your gifts, your talents, your availabilities, your personalities, your character, all your little quirks and all the things that God designed you to be can be deployed on, connected to, and in context with others in the church. I don't know if you've realized it yet, but I need you and you need me. Some of us come to services and we've never said hello to the person sitting on the other side of the room, and you've both been coming to church for years together. It's time to get back on mission. We can start being on mission by being on mission with our row on a Sunday. It's not that hard. Come on, are you out there? Here's what's at the other end of us being on mission looks like. Someone else who's lonely, who's disconnected, who needs prayer, who needs encouragement, who's unfamiliar, feeling uncomfortable, gets a warm, welcoming, kind conversation, a hand on the shoulder, or maybe even an invitation out to lunch. We can all be on mission. Fancy that, a radical thought, isn't it? Going to church to be a blessing to somebody else. That'd be amazing. That'd be amazing. You know what being on mission also makes you do? It makes you notice when people that you know at church are missing, have been missing for some time. You know, you only notice someone not being around if you actually commit to being on mission and coming to church and being on the lookout for other people. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus uses three metaphors of things that are lost, if you like. The first example, first parable, as we call it, Jesus talks about a shepherd who has 100 sheep and loses one. And the second account, if you like, talks about a woman who has 10 coins and loses one. Here is what you need to understand about these three parables of lost things. And the third one is about a lost or prodigal son. But this second account, if you like, this parable speaks of, and all of these parables speak of something that has gone lost. You need to understand when the shepherd or the father or the woman goes out to look for this thing that was lost. That word lost can only be lost if it belonged once. Notice how the shepherd didn't have 100 sheep and then goes out to find the 101st sheep and adds that extra one sheep to his 100. No, the Bible says that he has 99, he has 100, loses one, leaves the 99 and goes after the one that once belonged to him. There is a woman in the second account that says this. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin. There is so much that a Jewish listener would understand that those 10 coins actually were very important to women at the time, because they made a full necklace out of it, and to have one missing would just not be complete. And have you ever lost or discovered that something that was valuable to you has gone missing? I don't even freak out when you lose your mobile phone. Come on, hands up, honestly. You really just, you lose your mind when you lose a mobile phone, or your house and car keys. When you lose them, you lose your mind, because it's something really valuable, right? Come on, how many of you out there? Or maybe if you lose your wedding ring or something like that. Come on, husbands, you need to put your hand up right nice and high right now. Go, oh man, that's me. I freak out when I lose my wedding. Oh man, yep. Come on, how many of you just feel that sense of, oh my goodness. That's a sense of urgency when you lose something that's valuable to you. Well, how do you feel when you lose people? How does it make you feel when people are lost? This is how you know that you're on mission. When people matter to you more than things. This is how you understand your calling on this earth, is when people matter to you more than things. If you get more upset when someone steals your purse than when the devil steals a person from the church, something's wrong. Come on, are you out there? We're about others. People matter to us. It must matter to us when we haven't seen someone at Connect for a while. It's got to matter to us when we haven't seen someone at church, or maybe they've dropped off. What was Jesus saying about this John 17 on mission? What we were saying, and even out of here, Luke chapter 15, is that the same frantic search you and I embark on to find things that are valuable to us that have gone missing is the same frantic search, if not more, that we need to embark on to find people that are lost to the house. The woman had 10 coins. She lost one, and she turns the whole house upside down. She sweeps the whole place. How many of you heard of something called domestic blindness? How many of you men suffer from domestic blindness? Quite often in my house, this event would occur. I would look for like the sticky tape or dishwashing liquid or something. I would stand in front of the cupboard. And how many of you, dudes, you understand what I'm saying, right? When you look for things, that's never there. Standing there going, where is it? And I would straight away, my default form of behavior, which God needs to heal me from, is, Chrissy, where's the sticky tape? Chrissy, I'm standing in front of the cupboard and it's not there. And she would come up, shift one or two things, pull it out, sticks it in my face, and go, oh, you always just have a man look. A man look. There is a reason why Jesus used a woman in Luke 15. Because when a woman loses something, she turns the whole house upside down. She sweeps the carpet, sweeps the floor. She does not. She kicks her shoes off, pulls her earrings off. I'm looking for this thing that's lost. The church needs to go back to start having woman looks for people. None of this. Go up to a Connect leader and go, oh, have you seen so-and-so? I haven't seen them around for a few. I don't know. I sent them a text about 2 months ago. No reply, so I just haven't heard from them. That is a man look, and that is not acceptable in the kingdom of God. We need to go back to having woman looks for people. We need to start getting more concerned about lost people than lost things. I need a resounding amen from you. This is what an on-mission church looks like. Come on, are you out there? Being about others, let me make clear to you guys in case you're wondering what all of this is about. Being about others is simply about caring for the people that walk through our doors. John chapter 17, this on mission thing, right? If we come to gather around our church services, gather around our church community, if we come completely conscious of nobody else but ourselves and our needs and our wants and our preferences, I can tell you now, we will leave every church service, every Connect group, every conversation disappointed and disillusioned. But if we come being on mission about others and eyes on Jesus, I can tell you now, you will leave full. You will leave fulfilled. You will leave having walked the way that Christ determined for you to walk. This has profound implications for you and the people that you love and the people that matter to you. Think about this for a moment. Imagine how heartbroken you would be if you'd been praying for your brother or your sister or your spouse or your young adult son or daughter or your workmate. You pray, God, you know, that, and they, after about 2.5 years of knowing that you do the church thing, you believe in this Jesus thing, they say to you, oh, would it be okay for me to come to church with you this Sunday? Can you imagine the excitement in your heart? Like, imagine how heartbroken you would be if that friend of yours or that relative of yours or that son or that daughter actually comes to church that Sunday on time, because some of you know only the regulars are late. All the new people are on time. They come and they find you. But because the whole church isn't on mission, we're just about ourselves, no one talks to them. They come for 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks, come in, leave, no one speaks to them. Because what? We're all about ourselves. But that's not the kind of church we want to be a part of. That's not Nations Church. We're all about others. Come on, are you out there? We're constantly conscious of, we need to stop being worried about losing things and start concerning ourselves about losing people. That's because people are important. I don't know about you, but we need to stop getting excited about the release of new movies, the release of new gadgets, the release of new ideas, the release of, and start getting excited about new people. Some of us follow trends of, oh, this new iPhone's coming. Who cares? I'm concerned about the new person that's walking through the doors, because I would know that's Christ's heart for his church. This is kingdom stuff. This is kingdom stuff. When we talk about the church being about others, here at Nation Church, the primary vehicle of nurturing, care, and being conscious of other people are our groups. Our connect groups are amazing. Our connect groups are the backbone of how we look out for people, and people get to use their gifts and care for people. And connects are where being about others gets a weekly expression. Now, if that's the heart and soul of our church, then our connect group leaders are actually the captains of our mission. They're actually the captains of our mission. And so today, if you lead a connect group or you're an assistant connect leader, I want you to stand right where you are. Connect group leaders and assistant connect group leaders. Oh, wow. Captains of our mission. Amazing. Stay standing. You guys are amazing. Across all our Perth campuses, our connect group leaders. Connect group leaders, stay standing, because we want to pray for you and commission you into all that God has for you to take our church on mission. Is that okay? Come on, would you bow your heads, everyone? If you've got a connect group leader standing next to you, maybe if you're comfortable, just put your hand on their arm as we begin to pray. Every eye closed. Father, we pray for every connect leader in this room. Come on, I need a resounding amen. We thank you for their surrendered lives and their tireless willingness to serve your people. Father, we thank you for their heart to care for people, to influence your people to a greater walk with God, to care for the disconnected, care for the fringe and the lonely. We pray the Lord, you will grace them for everything they need this coming year. We honor them today for the champions that they are in our church, the leaders that they are to us, for their willingness to open up their homes and expend their time to care for people. And Lord, today I commission them for 2018. I declare blessing on them. I declare blessing on their families. I declare success and prosperity and good health and great fruitfulness in everything they do in 2018, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, come on, give our connect leaders a big hand. Network leaders are in there too. We honor you, connect group leaders. We honor you. You are the leaders of our mission. You know, when we talk about being on mission and we talk about being about others, then it follows that as we think about others, we're also about reaching those that are far from God. Another one of our 8 cultural statements says this, that we are about reaching those far from God. We desire to see more people come to a personal relationship with Jesus. Being about others is about looking out for those that God brings to us. But being about reaching those far from God is about going from where God has us to reaching those that are outside of the walls of church. You follow me so far? Whilst being on mission and being about others is caring for whoever God brings to our fold, if you like, and having woman looks for people. Then being about those that are reaching those far from God is about us desiring to pull out all stops to ensure that our lives preach the gospel to others. I heard an account recently of one of our leaders, a couple that were camping and that reached out to the person, a gentleman that was camping on a tent next to them, and began to share about the gospel and their lives and invited him to church. Now that couple was meant, they had their camping trip planned to cut into a Sunday, but they, knowing that this person in the tent next to them was going to be at church that Sunday, gave up that final night camping to be at church with them. And that person that was next door to them on that tent site found Christ. That is understanding that there is no comparison between one extra night's camping and another man's eternity. Come on, are you following me so far? When we talk about being on mission, sometimes we think to ourselves, oh, you know, I'm only in this job for like a one-year contract. Well, you've got 1 year to be on mission in that workplace. So you can be on mission to reach those that are far from God wherever you are, camping, tenting, in a soccer club somewhere. Some of you might be thinking, oh, I'm only doing this course for 2 years. What? You have 2 years to be on mission. Sometimes we think about being on mission is like going overseas and signing up for one of pastors. And that is a great way to be on mission, but that's a narrow way to look at it. Let me ask you this question. What makes us think that we're going to be effective in Cambodia or Bangladesh or Papua New Guinea when we can't even be effective here in Perth? What makes us think that we're going to be effective in a foreign land when we can't be effective in our suburb, right? Do you know that our Christian faith, if you actually lump all our different flavors and styles together from the Catholics right through to us that clap and mosh and all of that, Pentecostals, we've actually gone backwards as a state. Here are some real statistics from the Australian Bureau of Statistics for Western Australia. In 2016, I need a new microphone, I think. This is cutting out, yeah? In 2016, 1.2 million people ticked that they identify with a Christian faith. That is down by 68,000 people from the 2011 census, whereas other religions, so Buddhism, Baha'i, Islam, in 2016, 170,000. 2011, they gained ground by almost 41,000. People that say, I don't believe in any God. In WA, Western Australians, I don't believe in any God, 811,000 in 2016, they gained almost 240,000 in terms of ground. Not stated, people that say, I don't know what I believe, I'm not a Christian, but also wouldn't say that I'm an atheist, 244,000 in 2016, West Aussies, they gained almost 27,000. You take that in for a moment. Take that in for a moment. Ken, how does that make you feel? How does it make you feel that you were alive between 2011 and 2016 and that happened on our watch? We need to get back on mission. I said we need to get back on mission. We need to get back on mission. When you look, put that up on screen for a minute. Put that up on screen for a minute. I want us to have a look at that again. These are not my figures. This was compiled by the Australian Bureau of Stats for Western Australia. 5-year gap in the census. We've gone backwards by almost 69,000. This is collectively. Now you know why. I have absolutely no tolerance for petty complaints when that stuff is going on. Come on, are you out there? So what? Someone needs to stack the chairs and sweep the floors. Let's be on mission. Come on, are you out there? So what? You might have to queue up a little bit on days like this coming to the city. Let's not get small. Let's start thinking big, because I don't want to lose any more ground or be part of a church that continues to lose ground. We need to get back on mission. Who cares? There's not enough old songs being sung. Who cares? Come on. Let's start getting on mission. We need to get big again in our hearts, in our minds, and get back on the very thing that Jesus died and rose again for us to be on, which is on mission. People. People. I'm gutted by that, Ken. Do you know why? Because in that 68,000 people that we lost, so to speak, lost coins, is probably someone sitting next to you represented in their brother, or maybe someone's husband 5 years ago would have ticked, I'm a Christian. Not anymore. Maybe someone's young adult son. Yeah, I'm a Christian. 5 years later, I don't know what I believe. There's 811,000 West Australians as of 2016 that said, I don't believe there's any God. It's because they've never heard about the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Maybe all they've been given is religion. It's time to get back on mission. Come on, are you out there? It's time to get back on mission. It's time to get back on mission. So when you're on mission, there's no time to worry about the small stuff. No one's ever seen an eagle scratching around for grubs and worms. That's where the turkeys are. Eagles soar because they know they've got their eyes on the prey. Come on, are you out there? You've never seen elite special fighting forces when they're right under fire in the thick of battle with insurgents. You don't ever see them checking Instagram going, oh, that boy didn't like my selfie. Why? Because they're on mission. Come on, are you out there? They're taking heavy enemy fire from insurgents. They don't have time for petty stuff. No wonder Jesus prayed in John 17, 18, in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, Father, I give them, my people, a mission in this world. The best you is an on-mission you. This year, if you want to be more Christ-like, just be on mission. Because Jesus said, Father, I'm praying this. This is my heart. This is my desire. That as I'm on mission, my people will be on mission. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says this, Paul writes this, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I'd love to stop there, but Paul keeps going. He says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to have good intentions. Does it say that? Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know what that means? It means that quite possibly we could get to eternity and the stuff that God prepared beforehand for us, before we were born, for our lives, could actually yet remain unfulfilled. We need to get back on mission. You were created for purpose. Come on, don't be that goner guy. Don't be that goner girl. You know, that goner person. Oh, I'm gonna do that next year. Oh, I'm gonna go to Nations College that year. Oh, I'm gonna serve. Oh, I'm gonna. And then you come back 5 years later, still gonna. Don't be that goner. And if you don't know where to start somewhere in the church. Just be on mission. On your row. Come on, are you out there? And there's nothing more damaging than a bored Christian. Did you catch that? There's actually nothing more damaging than a bored Christian. It's time to get back on mission. It's time to get back on mission. No Christian should ever say, well, I don't know what to do with my life. Because Jesus has already prayed for us to be on mission. Come on, are you out there? Jesus came to the earth, died, and rose again to take your right away to say, that I don't know what to do with my life. Every believer, Christ in their heart, should be able to say, I'm on mission. You know, I'm going to start small. I'm going to start with the person standing next to me. Come on, are you out there? You know, being on mission can actually start today. It can actually start today. After our service, I'm going to give you two missions. Is that okay? Today. That starts today. After this service is finished, and we're going to move into the foyer to look at all our different booths, and some of you are going to check your kids out. The first mission today, I bet you're either going to be standing in line or somewhere very close to someone that you've never met before and don't recognize. Your mission is actually to stick your hand out, shake their hand, look them in the eye, and introduce yourself. That is your first mission. Is that okay? Some of you go, oh, I didn't come to church for that. I came to church just to be with Jesus. Catch this. If all you want is to be with Jesus, heaven will be a horrible place for you because you're going to be sharing it with me. And the guy next to you. And Mike Crichton, you're going to be sharing heaven with Mike. Get ready. You better get ready to love people unconditionally. That's your first mission. Just say it. Just introduce yourself to somebody you've never met. The second mission that can start today, because I know that some of you are going to get hungry. In fact, all of you are going to start looking for lunch. Go into the city. And maybe take someone that you've just met to the city out for lunch. Spend your lunch money and bless the city of Perth with your lunch money. And when you're doing that, have a chat with the waiter or the waitress and compliment them, thank them for the service, because no one thanks wait people for the service. Some of you go, oh, Perth has terrible service. I'm not saying that Perth has great service. I'm saying you should thank them for their service. Because we're on mission. Humanity is broken. We should love them regardless. Come on, are you out there? And they're likely to ask you, wow, you know, so how was your day? Say, my day's been great. And they're probably likely to say, well, what have you been up to? Well, I've been at church. Come on, we can represent Jesus in the church. We can just be on mission in our city. Oh, but brother, I'm called to Bangladesh. Start with the city. Come on, are you out there? I'm called to an orphanage in Tanzania. Come on, start with Perth. Be on mission in Perth. It's not that hard. Love your city. It's an amazing place. God's given us a great home. Start being on mission. You can be on mission anywhere. Now, this is the thing, right? If you're going to be on mission in our city, best be on your best behavior. Okay? Don't misbehave. If you are going to throw tables around all that, just yell out the name of another church. Just make it up. Church of the Shekinah Glory in Bessendine Rocks or something like that. Just, I don't know, whatever. Just don't use that. Don't use the name of our church. For those of you that are on your best behavior, you just use Nations Church. It's awesome. There's your invited cards everywhere, and the connection point ushers can help you with that. Take a couple with you into the city. Hand them out and talk to people about. Come on, who's ready to be on mission? We can give Jesus a big shout of praise. On mission. On mission. Oh, I want to be part of people that just love other people other than themselves. When I get around with you, I want to talk about you, but I hope that our conversation will be more than just talking about you, and hope that you and I want to talk about the cause. People. Come on, are you out there? And with that in mind, I want to just give you some updates on some things that we want to do in the life of our church coming up in 2018. It's in my heart to bring back this year at some stage Reno for a Cause. Reno for a Cause. What is that? Well, for many years in succession, Nations Church did something that was a community renovation project. It's a bit like Backyard Blitz, all in one day. And what we do was we go into our city somewhere, we pick a place, we work with the local city council, and we work with organizations that are helping people in need. So in the past, we've done aged care facilities, women's shelters, women escaping domestic abuse. We've worked with organizations that provide support and care for special needs people. And we go in and completely transform the grounds, front, back, create breakout areas, transform their gardens, create tranquility spaces, rehab spaces. And we just go in, bless them, go out, and follow through from there with a connection. I reckon that's going to be great. And we're doing it because we are on mission. Some exciting things are happening at our Belmont campus. At Belmont this year, we're in the final stages of our council approval for building improvements. We're going to gain 150 square meters of usable space, new kids' facilities, new office areas, new community programs areas, new Alter One, which is alternative learning school that runs out of our Belmont campus. That's going to be new space for that. New parents' room, new auditorium. We're doing this to be on mission. Our children in Belmont need to come and hear the gospel. More youth can encounter Jesus. We're doing this so more people in the community can be fed fruit and vegetables when they can't afford it. More people can be prayed for, share the love of Christ with. We're doing this so we can house one of the two largest Alter One schools, which is, like I said before, the school for alternative learning for teenagers that can't fit into mainstream school. We teach them out of our Belmont campus, and I want a phenomenal facility for that. We're looking to spend about $600,000 on that because we're on mission. We're doing it to be on mission. Yeah. Exciting things are happening in our Port Kennedy campus. Final stages of council approval for building improvements there. We're going to extend the building and create a brand new kids and youth area with extra toilets, new enclosed foyer. We're also going to get that campus ready to be another Alter One site in 2019. We're going to spend about $150,000 on that, and we're doing that to be on mission. Exciting things happening in the Myrie campus. We're expanding our kids area by 80 square meters. We're going to expand our youth, kids, and pastoral care office areas. We're going to spend about $40,000. That's already at work. That's happening right now. And hopefully be done by the time we get back to church next Sunday, boy. We're doing this to be on mission, boy. Exciting things happening in our Phnom Penh campus. So great to have Pastor Shannon and Tamara with us. We're in the final throes of contractual, legal-looking thingamajigs at the contract to lease 1,000 square meters of usable building space, two levels, 10-year lease. We're going to be in our own permanent hub with church auditorium, offices right in the city of Phnom Penh. We're going to spend about $110,000 up front for a deposit and fit-out, and then spend about $40,000 annually. We are going to continue to multi-site in Phnom Penh, but it's going to be good just to have one big church auditorium as well as a hub to train young people, gather volunteers, train leaders. Also potentially going to start a new location in Chiba Ampov as well. And that's going to be great. So we're going to hear that. We're going to be on mission. We're going to be on mission. You excited to be on mission? Right here in this building, in this Riverside Theatre in July this year, we're going to have our Nations Church Conference 2018. Incredibly exciting. Now that you got a feel for it, it's kind of nice, right? Who wants to go back to Kennedy Baptist College? It's a great school. Great school. But God's blessed us with the opportunity to have it here. And that's the third weekend of July. It's going to be amazing. I want to see this whole place taking the top tier as well. That'll be absolutely fantastic. Pastor Corey Turner is going to be here. Pastor Jonathan Fontana Rosa from Adelaide will be here. Phenomenal speakers. We've also got Jordan Kean is going to be here doing the kids stream. We're about to hear from one or two people about their availabilities for our youth stream as well. Phenomenal speakers. And our conference theme is overflow. We're going to be on mission out of overflow. It's going to be absolutely amazing. But that's not all. We're doing some incredible stuff in the life of church. And so we're about to make an exciting announcement. So would you cast your eyes on the screen now for this video clip.
And it's with that in mind that I'm excited to announce that in 2019, Nations Church is expanding into the continent of Europe.
Actually, three different prophetic words in that same time frame, and seemed so crazy, seemed just absolutely so crazy. And there's never been an opportunity until now, until God just last year, He just moved. Last year, He just started to speak so clearly and so consistently. In fact, if we weren't to go now, it would be disobedient. If we weren't to go now, it would be disobedient. And God's just been so good in all of that. And you know, last year I had the great opportunity to actually go to Europe. I felt like Joshua and Caleb, like on a spy mission. I wore my on-purpose pants. I did, literally. You know, the conference merch on purpose. Just was feeling things. And it was wonderful and it was amazing, but what became so immediately obvious to us as we were over there is that Europe needs the gospel. Europe needs the gospel. There's just so much happening across the continent of Europe, and I don't pretend to be any sort of expert on these things, but we do know about the rapid rise of secularism right across the continent. We do know about the rapid rise and influence of Islam across the continents. We do know that there's been a widespread desertion of religion or the increase of non-practicing forms of Christianity, as if that's even a thing. You can get disgusted. What is a non-practicing? Anyhow, you know, there was just such that sense that Europe is ripe for the gospel, because amongst all that is happening, the harvest is slowly dying. And as Ken preached out of the mission statement that he penned back in 2004, that we are to reach this city and beyond with the gospel, with the pure gospel, with the message that Jesus loves and that Jesus saves and that Jesus is for everyone everywhere. He's for everyone everywhere. And could it be that we could be a part of seeing the gospel spread like wildfire across that continent? And we say yes. We say yes to the leadings of the Lord. We say yes that by His grace, we will occupy all of the territory that He calls us to occupy. By His grace, we will go where He leads, and by His grace, we'll see an incredible harvest in Jesus' name for His glory. Can anyone say amen?
Amen. Wonderful. you got a million questions, okay? I know you got a million questions, and I acknowledge that, but I will, when the right time comes sometime this year, we're going to have something called a Next Chapter Sunday. I will tell you what city, what country, and all the details will be made known then. But the reason why we wanted to announce it to you right here in our 2018 Vision Sunday is because I want you to be on mission to pray for that continent. Is that okay? I want you to be on mission to pray for that continent, and we are in the preparatory season now. Obviously, for some of you are thinking, I can't increase like leaving to go. We're sending, just so you know. Let me also assure you, we are sending, okay? And there's obviously people that we want to relocate and pray into that with us and all of those sorts of things. But maybe right now, even as you're hearing that, God is stirring in your heart for Europe, whatever that looks like. Maybe you want to say, oh yeah, maybe I'll, God, maybe you want me to be on mission. Should I also be part of the team that mission with us? Be on mission with us. Jesus said, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. We're just doing what Jesus asks. We're not doing it out of our own ambition. We've held this for almost 8 years. Never talked about it with you guys. That's why some of you go, what? He's Asian. I know that. But I have Eurasian kids. What we do need to do from here is to continue just to be faithful to reach our city and beyond with the gospel and to influence the present and future generations to be disciples of Christ. Is that good? Can we give Jesus a big shout of praise? Thank you, Chrissy. Come on, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Close your books. Close your books.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.